Hi, this is Alan Chartok in the Congressional Corner with our friend Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and one of my favorite people when it comes to understanding what the heck goes on in Massachusetts. Tell me about how Elizabeth Warren is doing, and how is she approaching the Biden administration, and what would her plans for 2024 be like?
Elizabeth Warren is in an interesting position in the Senate and in the Washington power structure at the moment. She had told Politico recently that she will be running again in 2024. By the standards of the Senate, she's relatively young. She's only 71, far too early for retirement if you look at years of service that many of the current serving senators have put in. But she's looking for her place. She recently released a campaign memoir from her 2020 presidential campaign. The title is Persist. And she reflected on the choices that she made. She does not apologize for the 81 detailed policy plans that she put out there. She did say that taking on the flap over her claim of Native American ancestry by taking a DNA test was a mistake. It was a distraction from what she argues are much more important issues. But looking back, she couldn't find a lane. She was jostling with Bernie Sanders for the progressive vote, and Joe Biden, his timing was impeccable. He was the man for the moment, she argues. And sometimes even the strongest presidential candidates, if it's not their time, if history isn't welcoming them, then there's her argument is there isn't a whole lot you can do. So a number of her staff have moved into positions in the Biden administration. So she does wield influence, soft power through those folks. She also pushes Biden from the left, and she's staking out a territory that is familiar to her of good fiscal policy. She recently introduced legislation that would give the IRS more resources to pursue the top 1% of tax filers who may be trying to evade their fair share of income taxes. She's also discussing cracking down on trading of stocks by members of Congress. There have been allegations about a number of members of Congress that they bought and sold stocks based on information that they had received due to their positions and had made significant sums of money. And Warren wants a very clear and ironclad policy regarding how senators and members of the House handle their investments. So she is staking out a claim, a territory as a conscience of fiscal rectitude, shall we say, both for high-earning taxpayers and for members of Congress at the moment.
So how is President Biden polling? How's it going for him? Every time I see a poll for Biden, it looks pretty good. And every time I see a poll on Trump, it looks pretty bad. And approval. What are you finding?
So we saw a large number of polls marking President Biden's first 100 days in office. And that's a good metric for comparing how he is doing to his predecessors. And an NBC News poll from that bunch showed his job approval at 53% for the first 100 days, compared to 40% for President Trump in his first 100 days, 61% for Obama, and 57% for George W. Bush at the end of the 100 days. Where is Biden doing best? He's polling well in terms of his handling of the COVID pandemic. And two-thirds of folks responding in this NBC poll approved. More than half approved of his handling of the economy and his attempts to unite the country. His weakest policy area is immigration. Only a third approved of his handling of immigration. And that's an issue to watch. with President Biden. That's going to continue to be an area where he struggles, both from the left and from the right. The left wanting to see an end to family separation, huge reforms of how we're dealing with folks who are crossing the border illegally, and the right believing that President Biden is not taking a strong enough stance against illegal immigration. So that is the issue to watch in terms of Biden's standing with the public.
Do we have any idea whether he's going to run again?
He says he is. And that would
he'd have to do that, right? You know, I mean, if you say I'm not, that makes you a dead duck.
Absolutely. The first year in office, the life cycle of a presidential term, you've got 2 years until the midterms, and then you're thinking about reelection. In that first year, to say you're not running again would just completely undercut his authority and hit whatever political clout he's wielding on Capitol Hill. So it makes sense. Whether he actually follows through, we won't know till after the midterm congressional elections in fall 2022.
Well, he's got a vice president. The vice president appears with him wherever he goes. She's by his side. And there is a question to me whether she's the heir apparent.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch former vice presidents when they ascend to the top job. How they treat their vice president often reflects their own experience in the position. And I think it's widely accepted that Barack Obama delegated a significant amount of authority to Joe Biden, had lunch with him weekly, had very open and consistent communication with him. And it seems like Biden is following that model as well with Kamala Harris, wanting to sort of mentor her, bring her along. And she would be the obvious front runner if he decided not to go for another term.
This is very interesting stuff. But in the end, we can say that his polling is outdistancing Trump's polling, not only now, but when Trump was president. He never cracked 50%, right?
That's correct, yes. There were a handful of Rasmussen polls where he may have. The polling world, it takes a dim view of those polls. The methodology is not always entirely clear, but the vast, vast majority of polls had Donald Trump under 50% for job approval throughout his presidency.
There are those people who think he's trying to steal the election. His operatives in the various states are changing the rules, the laws. You're a political scientist. Will he get away with it?
This is a good question. What is going on with the vote recount in Arizona, the push for recounts in other states, counts that have been done over and over, settled? Is this really simply an attempt to damage the legitimacy of the Biden presidency? That could certainly be the case. On the other hand, there are very real changes occurring in election law in a variety of states, Georgia, Florida, Arizona, to make some of the voting more difficult in 2022 and 2024, in particular absentee voting, early voting, same-day registration, voter ID, all kinds of changes that could make it more difficult for groups that tend to vote Democratic to vote. And so that is really the issue to watch. Then there is a question of what the courts will do with challenges to these laws. That's an open question, especially if the challenges make it all the way to the Supreme Court with a 6-3 conservative majority.
Goodbye to Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and a man I very much admire. Thanks for being with us, Tim.
What a pleasure. Thank you, Alan.